thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because your Spirit is in our midst and works a work in us this day, that nobody who is here shall remain the same. Father, we thank you because we are a precious people who have been called to do a precious work and a wonderful work. Father, we thank you because we understand the times in which we live and we do not take it for granted. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus because even you chose us from before the foundation of the earth, of the world. You chose us, Father, to be alive at such an important time. And we thank you because you have equipped each and every one of us to stand up in these last days and live your will. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that each and everyone comes to this recognition, to this realization, in Jesus' name. And I pray that we do not walk according to our wisdom. Because your word says that we redeem the time because the days are evil. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we come to the realization that the only way to fruitfulness is if we are dependent on you for each and everything. That we are not dependent on our wisdom. We are not dependent on our strength, on our resources, but we are dependent on you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that you are a star in God's movie. Tell him that, and stars don't die. So I expect you to be alive until the rapture. So don't disappoint me and die. Tell your neighbor, don't disappoint me and die. So turn to yourself and say, I'm still in town. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. Start afar. Amen. Amen. And you're a star in God's movie. Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. First of all, go to Judges, the final verse of Judges, before Ruth. Judges is just before Ruth. Chapter 21, Judges 21, 25. Judges 21, 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Okay? Now that is the time that the book of Ruth is set. Now go to Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, when everybody did as they wanted, that there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now I want you to understand, there's something I'm going to build here before we actually start praying for people. And now, here's the thing. The word Bethlehem means house of bread and is symbolic of the church. So Bethlehem is the house of bread. This is set at a time when there is no bread in the house of bread. Now you know what bread is in the New Testament, eh? The word. Now a certain man of Bethlehem. Now imagine somebody moving away from the house of bread to go and look for bread somewhere else. Do you understand? A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, which means God is king. The name of his wife was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon, which means infirmity, and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Now, Moab, throughout the sojourn of Israel, was a place that presented itself as an alternative to what Israel was. Do you understand? Now, if you know the story of Balak and Balaam, then you know that Balak was the king of Moab. Now, when Israel were coming out of Egypt, they went through the country of Moab. Now, because the Moabites are related to Israel, because they are the children of Lot, thank you very much. Now, because they are related to Israel, God told them that I am not giving you the land of the Moabites. But the only way they could go where they were going to the promised land was by passing through the Moab land. So they sent for permission. Shall we come and go through the land? We shall not go left or right. Just give us a highway. There is what they used to call the King's Highway, where people came who were moving through. So if you came and you requested permission, you would be shown the King's Highway. So one kingdom moving, perhaps going to attack another kingdom, and your army passes through that highway. Now, if you left that highway, then you were perceived to have declared war on that kingdom. You understand? So these people requested, give us the King's Highway, let's go through. But because the Israelites were numerous in number, Balak, the king of Moab, was scared. Now, so what he did is he went and got Balaam, who was a prophet, and told him, come and help me curse the children of Israel so that you weaken them, and then I can attack them and beat them militarily. Okay, because he perceived that the way Israel were, he could not beat them militarily unless somebody had come and weakened them. Now, some people think that words are insignificant. When somebody, you've heard Baganda say, now, apparently in the Bible, words are that serious that this king once says, first come and curse them, then I will go and fight them. Do you understand? Eh? So that's not a spiritual reality, by the way. Those words are very powerful, and words which are spoken, even about other people concerning you, that's why it's important for you to speak words concerning yourself, which are good. You understand? Eh? And David said, deliver me. Now, this is a scripture that scared me because he says when he's already a king, that deliver me from the strife of tongues. Now, if a king who has an army, okay, which is, has conquered territory, says that deliver him from the strife of tongues, then tongues are not as insignificant as somehow our cultures made us believe. Anyhow, let's go on. Now, so Moab, you know what happened with Balak and Balaam? They could not curse because God turned the curse of Balaam into a blessing 3 times. But Balak did something else. He went and advised the king of Moab, who was Balak, and told him that here is what you will do. Since the Lord has stopped me from releasing a curse, now it's important to know if Balaam had actually released the curse, it would have taken effect. So what God did, he stopped him from speaking it. Do you understand? Now when somebody has spiritual authority, sometimes you are going to speak something and you really feel it can even block. I'll give you an example of somebody whom I've given you so many examples from. Kenneth Hagin. He said he went to pray for a man who was sick. And so he said, so he went and laid his hands and said, God, he wanted to say, God heal this man. But the word heal refused to come out of his mouth. So he would want to say heal, and then he would end up saying save. So you were determined to say God heal. Then God, he ends up saying save. Then he asked, what's the problem? Then God told him that that man is very hard-hearted. Now that he's sick is the only time he has actually come to the Lord. So the Lord told him, let him die and go to heaven. If you pray for him and he gets healed, he will go to hell. Because as soon as he's off that bed, he's going to go and, you understand? Eh? So he says, this is the only time I've had to get him. Eh? And you see, because God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, he says, let him die now. And this is the only time he will. So now, because Kenneth Hagin had built this authority, if he had said heal, the man would get healed. But God blocks the mouth, and he cannot speak those words. You understand? Eh? So now Balaam wants to curse. God blocks the words, and he ends up blessing 3 times. Anyhow, so he told them that, now, here is what we are going to do. Now, go and send for them Moabite women, and let them go and, you know, join themselves to them. And that's what happened. And actually, they went and they got Moabite women, you know, hot Moabite babes, you understand? Eh? And they brought a curse on themselves because they taught them to worship their gods, and eventually there was a plague which killed 25,000 people. So actually, Balak did not fail entirely. But there are things which God can stop them from being cursed, eh? But he cannot stop them from, you know, yeah, from the babes. Eh? Okay. So now, but the point in me telling you that story is for you to know that there is, so Moab remained as an alternative for Israel. Every time they felt things are not good here, they go to the Moabites. You understand? Eh? The Moabites would be something like, you know, the world. Eh? Now here, there are these two guys who are in the land of bread, and there is no bread. There is famine in the house of bread. So they go to look for bread in Moab, eh? And they go single, okay? And then they marry Moabite women. You understand? Eh? Now, you know, we've been in church for so long that there was a time some years ago when people were saying, you know, we cannot marry Christian girls. Christian girls are fake. What? Eh? So, and actually, the funny thing is also Christian girls thought Christian men are fake. Eh? So now everybody in the church was going to Moab to get what? To get husbands and wives. Eh? I don't know how that thing crept into, but somehow you'd find single men and single women, and all of them are going to Moab, okay, into the world to get, you know, partners. Eh? So now this is what happened. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there, okay, verse 3. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, okay. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Oprah. Okay, no, not Oprah, Opa. Eh? And the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Okay, verse 5. Then both Mahlon and Chilion died. You understand? Eh? Now, here is the funny thing that a lot of the guys who went to get, you know, Moabite women, eh? I don't know where some of them were in ministry, but I don't know where they are right now. Eh? So, they didn't die physically. Eh? Okay. So the women survived her two sons and husbands. Now, there's this land of Moab which kills men and leaves widows. You understand? Eh? Old widows like Naomi and young widows like her son's children. So, now here is what I'm trying to tell you today. There was a time not too long ago, long ago for some of you, when somehow there was no bread in the house of God. Now, bread is something, is a word which takes somebody away from a certain kind of life to another kind of life. Do you understand? Now, the word of God is not meant to be just listened to and you remain the same. You know, I've seen people who come to my office all the time and tell me, you know, I've been following the word, I've been saved and all. And they have a lot of these scriptures memorized, but somehow that word has not benefited them. Eh? That word, the scripture says in Hebrews that the word did not profit them. You understand? Eh? The word has to have profit. If it does not have profit, it is not proper word. Do you understand? Now, every word has to have a profit. It has to, after you've listened to the word of God for a certain time, we expect your life, and by your life, I mean your finances, your family, everything about you to have changed from point A to point B. Amen? Now, the trouble is people were in church listening to, okay, some kind of words, but there was famine in the house of bread. So people, and we grew up on these things. Now, the thing about me is at the time, I would go to church because somehow it was expected of me. But when I wanted to learn spiritual principles, I read books. That's the time when I read everything about Kenneth Hagin. I used to eat him for breakfast, lunch, and supper. So that's how I built a foundation in the Word of God. Because there was famine in the house of God. You'd go to a church, and the pastor tells you how expensive his shoe is, okay? And how he's been to America, and what, and all those things. You remember those things, eh? And, like, it's total crap. And can you imagine somebody has been in the marketplace for 1 week? Eh? They have been struggling, doing business or at work, and they come to listen to some word. Do you understand? Eh? Something to refresh their souls. And you tell them that you are in America? How is that going to take them from point? So there is this kind of thing. Then so many things, by the way, crept into the church. Now, because I have been through almost all that time, I actually saw all the trends come. And I saw at the time when there was famine in the house of bread. Now, so many believers started going to Moab to get solutions there. So because even the people who were preaching were not getting solutions from church, they were getting solutions from the world. So they come and say, Kampala kuyia. And the pastor is saying that. Now it's different if Bobby Wine says that. Eh? But if a pastor is saying Kampala kuyia, then why should I come to your church and not go for a concert? Eh? What somewhere chivulu, eh? So, like, there was famine in the house of bread. Okay? Now, so people ran away. And actually, you could see it from the lives. There were people, I know people. It's by the grace of God, by the way, that I even survived through that time. And now, I am here preaching the word of God. Eh? It is totally by the grace of God. Because I used to read a lot now. And I used to love reading. And somehow I would get books and read them. So all the knowledge we got from the book. So you would go, and even the person who is teaching you the word, you know more than him. You understand? Eh? There's somebody who has been listening to Watchman, a young girl. So she went to her church and they were teaching end time. So the pastor was saying, now we are going to teach about end time. After I had spoken 30 minutes, she was compelled to leave the church. Because she realized that she can teach the pastor end time. So there is no bread in the house of bread. Glory to God. So this period lasted for some time, by the way, for a long time, a very long time, okay? And then it became worse and worse. Then people started imitating certain American preachers. Then they are, you know, talking like T.D. Jakes and what? And like they want to speak like him. They don't even know as much English as they. So I saw all sorts of trends. Eh? And somehow people were taught to respond to those things. Eh? So somebody, and people would say amen when they haven't even heard what they are saying amen to. I remember a guy who read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Then he says, you know, in the beginning, what? Then he says, the Spirit of God hovered on the what? Eh? The earth was without void, without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So, of course, then he starts preaching the charismatic way. Now, the Bible says the earth was confused, the deep was confused, the what was confused. Then in the process, it says, and the Spirit was confused. And people are saying, amen, amen. So now we've been through all of what? These trends. And you ask these people who have been in the church, isn't it true? It is true. Now here there is somebody who has been in the church also for so many years. Eh? Like then you go to church and something in you tells you you have to go to church because you're born again and what? Eh? You can't sleep on Sunday, you understand? Eh? But then you go and you enjoy the worship sometimes. Then when the word comes, eh, you really feel disillusioned. So when I learned how not to pretend, that's the point I would leave. And okay, some people would say that's rude, but first of all, it's bad enough if somebody is saying nothing, eh? But okay, in 1 hour. But it is worse if the person is breaking your faith, destroying what you've been building. Do you understand? Eh? Now, if you've read Kenneth Hagin's books, you're believing God, eh? What, you know, healing, what, all those things. Eh? Faith, now you're feeding on that, and then the pastor says, kakati, that banabaga naba to gena mudwadiro. That naba sao katonda yabawa magezi. Okay, now, I don't dispute that. Do you understand? Eh? Amen? Amen? I don't dispute that. And there's no way I'm going to tell somebody not to go to hospital or take that. But what if you have a sickness for which God has not given the doctors magezi? So me, I went and told him that since the doctors get the magezi from God, and I speak to God every evening, let me go and get the magezi from him direct. I don't need anybody to get it from, do you understand? Eh? But anyway, the point is, if you listen to that, what you've been building dies. Then after some time, you start. Now, that's where people started losing faith. Now, I saw things. I saw people who came to the church when they were rich, and within 6 months, they were broke. Amen? Then I realized there's something not right here. Do you understand? Eh? It's supposed to be the other way around. Then, some guy told me a story of a man who used to stay on a Muzigo. Then he got born again. Eh? Then he listened to these doctrines of born again people. Eh? So at night the man would be, you know, binding demons the whole night. So the whole night, the man does not sleep, he's binding demons. So his neighbor says, this guy, he used to sleep well before he got saved. Now since he got saved, he does not sleep at night. So one day somebody came and told him, you know, Jesus Christ, andeka, that you leave me alone, sinagana asuranga nwana mizim. Like, so, you see, you confuse the doctrine and you make somebody say, I'm not going to get saved because my neighbor got saved, he used to sleep well. Now, since he got saved, he does not sleep. Now, do you see how the devil has turned it around? Eh? Because there is no bread in the house of what? Now, they are teaching people fake things. So you spend the whole day fighting demons. Now, this guy has been fed on that. Let me tell you, there is nobody who is fed on that whose life is going to improve from point A to point B. None. Like, it is fake. These things of curses and what. And that's not to mean that some people are not having demonic problems. But you see, the problem is, people come and you pray, and they get delivered, and it's like, and they go straight back and listen to the same word. And guess what happens? The same thing. Do you understand? It's like coming out of the rain, then you go inside, change clothes, take a shower, put on warm clothes, and go straight back in the rain. So until you learn how to separate yourself from such rubbish, okay? The scripture says when you learn how to separate filth from what? From valuable things, eh? Then will I call you mine. Because there is a lot of filth going on. And you think, and people think, there's a pastor who came to me and told me, you know, I hate the devil. I said, okay, yeah, me, I love God. Now, then I told her the problem with you, because she's having problem after problem after problem, and she loves God, okay, but you know, wrong doctrine. She has been fed on, you know, rotten bread. Eh? So I told her, can you pray for 3 months without talking anything about the devil? Then come back and we talk. When you've prayed 3 months without addressing the devil, when all your prayers are about God, come back and we talk. After 3 days, she called me and told me, you saved me a lot. Because once the enemy kills your relationship with God through creating a relationship with the devil, now you get to a point where you don't want to know what God is doing, you want to know what the devil is doing. You don't pray because God is hearing, you pray because the devil is fighting. Now, it sounds like a what? A small thing, but it's a big thing. Okay? It's a very big thing. Because it determines your disposition. So you will never have an authority. You're always fighting with the devil. Why did people end up like that? Because there is no bread in the house of bread. Now, then, after some time of listening to that stuff, then you'll start having demonic dreams. People come and sleep with you at night and what? And yet you have the power resident in you to come out of that. But because you've subjected yourself to that, you've kept yourself at that level. Amen? If you just walked away from it, within a week, there would never be something like that. Like the devil would know this one has left my territory. He has gone or she has gone. Amen? Amen. Then he looks for those who are still in his territory. But if you don't understand the correlation between the words you hear and the life you lead, do you understand? Eh? Now, let me tell you, words without a corresponding change in life are useless. A what? Useless. Tell your neighbor they are what? Useless. If the words do not change your life, then why are you listening to them? And now, somehow, When we got saved, everybody used to pray in tongues. The minute you get saved, it was rare for somebody to spend 1 week without praying in tongues. But now people fight to pray in tongues, fight. Why? Because they were fed in a fake word. Do you understand? So the word does not produce in you that. But that time, as soon as you got, everybody is praying in tongues, then you know faith comes by hearing. Then they say, you mean you don't pray in tongues? You say, no, I don't. Then they even make it look like it's something weird. So you go and within 3 days, you're already speaking in tongues. Now, how many people don't speak in tongues? So many. Don't put up your hands. But so many. How did we get here? Because of there was no bread in the house of bread. Amen? Okay. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman, that's Naomi, survived her 2 sons and her husband. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Amen? You first clap for that. Now, listen to this. The words that I'm telling you are like prophetic words, you understand? I don't just preach what I... Now, then they heard that now finally in the church there is somebody, there are people who can speak and their words change people's lives. And it leads to a change of life. It leads to victory. It leads to, you know, health, wholeness, victory, financial breakthrough. Do you understand? And not just information. Not just information, information, information. Because, you know, once I learned this, that when I want to know what you know, I don't listen to what you say. I look at your life. The testimony is your life. Without your life, there is no testimony. You cannot go and tell. Now, somebody can come and give you all the wonderful words about prosperity, but he's broke. Now, that's how the church had become. Where the people who are teaching about prosperity are the brokest. So then, they do not portray prosperity. Have you ever seen these street preachers? Okay, I don't mean to, whatever. But do you look at them and you feel that this gospel they are preaching is good? Because they don't look something, you know? Do you understand? But if somebody goes there as smart as, you know, Ruego here, not that I'm telling you to go, but you understand, somebody who looks well-fed, people will even start stopping and saying, what are you saying, sir? Then you tell them, Jesus saves. Because you have to be, you have to look like what you're talking about. Do you understand? Otherwise, nobody is going to believe you first. Because if your words were powerful, why aren't they doing a work in you? Now, what God is doing now, and I'm going to show you today, the scripture which the Lord gave me this morning, early in the morning. Like, now, the Lord has visited his house with genuine bread. Now the time for listening to empty words ended. Amen. Every word is going to produce fruit. Amen. Glory to God. Every word is going to do what? Only make sure that you listen to the right word. Don't stay in a place where... Now you see, the thing is this. When I finally moved away from that church system, not that I'm advocating anything here, and moved away, I learned, and I was telling somebody this, when I finally came to real bread, I discovered that I had to, like, it was, I had to unlearn so many things which had been taught to me, you understand? And before I could even learn the new things which change life, I had to first unlearn so many things. Actually, it was 90% unlearn, and 10% learn. So I realized if I had not stayed there in those churches listening to those fake things about people who have been to America, it would have been a lot easier for me to get into something new. But you have to first wash that, you know, rubbish out of you, and then before you are prepared for something new, do you understand? Now, there are people who have come, and their first exposure to the Lord are things like this. Then, within a short time, now I have a witness of so many Muslims. The guys come to you and they tell you the visions they're having. And the guy has been saved for 1 month. But do you know why he's having those visions? He has nothing to unlearn. He enters and starts feeding on bread immediately. Now for you, you have to first, you know, detox. Thank you very much. So you spend a lot of time detoxing, before you're ready to receive bread. Now this Muslim comes, a guy comes and says, I'm called Hakim Bichi, I listened to you on radio, I got born again, but now the other day, the Lord did what? Then the Lord told me this, and you're saying, excuse me? The Lord what? Then the guy says, you know, the Lord did this and what? And I'm looking and I'm in awe. Because the man came from the world, he did not listen to any crap, he came and he just started feeding on real bread. Now, here is the good news. The Lord has visited these people by giving them what? Now, from this day onwards, there will be bread in the house of bread. Haggai chapter 2. In the seventh month of the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, now first wait, keep it there. The governor of Judah, of Zerubbabel, and the high priest. You understand? In other words, the politician and the preacher. Amen? Okay, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Now, first keep it there. Let me tell you something. Now, these people had left the kingdom of Judah. This was the time when the kingdom of Israel, of Judah, was being restored after the 70 years in exile, in Babylonian exile. Now, they go and spend 70 years in Babylonian exile, and when they go, they left the temple of Solomon standing. You understand? The temple which had been built by Solomon amidst so much splendor, at a time when it was said in the scripture that silver was like stones, useless stones, because of its abundance. The only thing that had any value was gold. You understand? Now, at a time of such wealth, this temple was built, a great temple. Remember, David had almost laid up everything that his son Solomon would need for the temple. And then Solomon entered into this great wealth. So amidst all that splendor and glory, they built a temple which was resplendent and so powerful. So then it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Then they go into exile. Now they come back and they start building a temple, broke people. You understand? Broke guys, and then they look at the temple. Actually, the scripture says in the book of Ezra that those people, the old men who had been there at the time of exile, who came and saw this new temple, when they saw the new temple, they broke down and started crying. You understand? They broke down. Now, you know, when you've seen something at a certain glory, and then there's a guy who told me where I used to work, that this boss of his, in the newspaper, there was this boss of his who was, you know, a sadist. A guy who was a sadist. Do you know these guys who enjoy delivering bad news? So, and because of that, the ultimate boss used to give him the work of firing people. And he used to relish those moments when he has to tell somebody that you've been fired. So you would call people to his office and say, come. So now when that guy called you to his office, you knew serious stuff. So you would tell him, now we've been looking at your work and unfortunately you've fallen below our required standards. And we've been left with no choice. And he's speaking it with relish. You know people like that, eh? Now, of course, sometimes people have to fire, but nice people don't look forward to those moments, eh? Yeah, but this guy particularly looked forward to it. So one day, they were doing a restructuring in the company. So there was a lot of people for him to fire, eh? And he was having a day of his life, eh? So guys are sitting in the newsroom, and so they come and tell you that they are calling you, eh? Now, you know, the way, if you know the way those places are, it's like this. Everybody knows, especially at that time, who, so they will tell you. So everybody expects what is going to happen. So guys are there working, but are hoping I'm not the next. So the guy is there on his computer, like working. Then they come and tell you. They say, me? Then When a guy would come from there, he just comes and clears his desk and goes. And by the way, you are given that day to clear your desk. Eh? Like there is no coming tomorrow. Eh? You clear your desk and leave. So this guy was calling people, you have been fired. Eh? Then he even first went for lunch eh? and was saying that I have like 20 or 30 more to fire. So he came in the afternoon. So he started firing. So they would give him a letter. Now he was just doing it. They give him a letter. He, you know, looks at the name on top. Then they call for me so and so. So they call the guy. Now finally, when he had finished firing, the next letter was his. So the guy looked at it and said, no, there must be a mistake. So he went to the MD and said, excuse me, sir, there must be a mistake. Is this because he opened the letter and was saying he's also been fired. So he said, no, there must be a mistake. The MD said, no, there is no mistake. Unfortunately, we've also decided that you're also falling below our standards. And imagine after the guy had cleared, now, some of the guys he had fired in the afternoon were still clearing their desks. Then they see the guy also clearing his. Now, so this guy told me that, you know now the way people used to be those days, eh? He has this job, it's like, you know, he's Alpha and Omega. So his children are going to these powerful schools and all that. He has this. So the guy somehow, the children stay in school. Then, of course, he can pay school fees that time because they give you a severance package. But, of course, the second term, then school fees becomes tight. Then the children are sent from school. Then they stay home. Then you finally realize that things have changed. Then you take them away from that school to a cheaper school. Then after some time, even the cheaper school, is also tight. Then the guy moved back to the village in Tororo. Now when he arrives there, he still has suits, eh? And you know, all this vope. So he goes to the drinking places with very expensive suits and shoes and what. Then starts drinking, assuring those guys how they are illiterate. Eh? You know, I used to be what? You know, all these things and what? So eventually one day he walks out, then they have stolen his shoes and what? Then the next thing, then after some time, the suits of course start becoming old and they even no longer fit because he has lost a lot of weight. Then after some time, you know, you understand what I'm saying, eh? The thing goes down like this. So this guy said he had seen him in his glory. Then he went and met the man, a drunkard, wearing rugabire, in torn what? And he looked at him and he wanted to cry. And like that change happens over a period of not such a big time, do you understand? Eh? So he looked at him and he wanted to cry. Now, that's what happened with the people who had seen the temple of Solomon. And then they saw this temple, which Bambi, they are just, these are exiles. People have come from exile in others where you have been slaves. So you've just done whatever you could do. Now, the old men who had seen the previous one started crying and said, my God, is this how far we've fallen? Now, so it isn't, it's so the Lord is saying, and how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? But now the Lord is saying, yet be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Okay? And he says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, so do not fear, leave it there. So he's telling them that, okay, in the appearance, it doesn't look as glorious. Eh? But he says, but my spirit is still there, and I'm still there. I'm still in there. But then he goes on to say, verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all the nations. And he says, I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Okay? The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Actually, what the Lord is saying, that even if Solomon's temple looked so much bigger, and this one looks like a pauper's temple, he says, actually, the glory of this one is going to be much greater than the glory of the former one. Amen? So he's saying, do not lose heart. Don't see and think that this is inferior. He says, because I will shake the nations. Now, this is what the Lord told me last night, eh? That once again the nations are going to be shaken. Do you understand, eh? And starting with this nation, once again, everything in this nation, now listen to me, eh? Everything in this nation, is going to be shaken. You understand? Eh? And the whole world will come to the desire. Why is he saying the desire? The desire, in other words, when he shakes it, then the finance, the money, that's why he says the silver are mine and the gold is mine. So he's saying you saw the temple which was made of silver and gold. Now you're seeing a temple which is made of wood and bricks. So you're crying. But he says, don't worry. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. I am going to shake the nations and they will bring the gold and silver here. And then he says that the glory of the latter house will be the glory of this temple will be greater than the glory of Solomon's temple. Do you understand? Eh? Now, this scripture is true today. Once more, the Lord is shaking. Eh? Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And I'm not talking about a long time from now. I'm talking about a period of about 3 or 4 months. Eh? You are going to see everything shaken. Do you understand? Eh? And now, let me tell you, the people, there was a revival in this land before. I have seen things. When I got saved, I saw powerful healings. I have been to crusades where blind people were seeing. And it was not a big deal. You are blind, you saw, you have 2 minutes to testify, go home. There is somebody else who also wants to testify. Do you understand? Eh? There was not even WhatsApp and what, and you know, Facebook to put there. You saw, now go home and see. Now, there are other people to testify. Do you understand? Eh? Where there would be a line of people to testify. Real things, real things. Deaf people, I have been there where I saw them with my eyes. I'm not talking stories. Do you understand? Now, then it comes a time when people start talking about blind people seeing, but the people are not seeing. I have seen people who are finished. Do you know, in the 1990s, AIDS used to be such a terrible sickness. You don't know it now. Now, but that time, it would completely humiliate people before it kills them. Like, now you die with dignity. Eh? If you are not healed, eh? But, you know, thank God that the power to heal is here. Eh? But that time, it would totally humiliate. Now, there were people who would come when even the uterus has come out. Eh? Like, I don't know, it used to attack people in different ways and what. But you find somebody with the only difference between them and a dead person. But that's the problem. That was the problem with it. It would kill you several months before you die. So that people see you, only your mother can come close. Eh? Everybody else does what? Bolts. Eh? Because, man, the fear, the fear that was there in seeing somebody. I remember seeing some of, you know, where there is skin on bone, there is no flesh whatsoever. You see the skeleton covered by skin. Okay, it was dreary. Now, we saw those people coming to church like that, and then after 2 months, they look like the way I look right now. They have even put on a stomach, and they have tested negative 3 times, after they had tested positive 3 times. Now, we saw churches where you'd go and say, I have HIV, they say, first go and bring 3 positive tests before I pray for you. Then you go and bring them, then they keep them as evidence. Then after you're healed, you go and bring 3 negative tests. And not, the tests are not all. People look at you and say, man. Then they even take your picture and put it there. Then they say, before and after. And when you come, you see the healing power of God. No stories. Do you understand? Eh? So there has been a revival in this land. Eh? But something happened. Eh? Now, so many people who saw where things were, how things had turned out, were like those old men who had seen the former temple. And they were crying, saying, Lord, how could we have fallen this far? But now let me tell you, eh? The glory of the latter house. The kind of healing miracles that you're going to see, eh? Those ones was Sunday school picnic in comparison. And now this is happening now. Eh? If you are watching it on TV, it would be saying happening now. Eh? The healing power of God that people have been trained here to receive and are going to start manifesting. Glory to God. Eh? People, there will be no stories. Eh? Now you see even these unbelievers are kumanyira ingas, eh? Saying that you should not go on radio and announce miracles. Saying that what? They are baroque announcing that they can heal even AIDS and cancer and saying people sell all their property and go there and they don't get healed. And now me, I'm saying people sell their property and go to India and die there. And even their relatives sell their property to bring them back here for burial. So why is it a problem only when people come to church? Science failed to deal with cancer. Steve Jobs, who was very rich, died of it. Amen? The only hope is in the church. Now, the man had... Listen to me. How do you tell me not to say that God can heal cancer when the man who had all the best doctors in the world died of it? If it's malaria, then you can say, okay, go and take what? If you want. Amen? But now there is no... If it's not God, it's death. But they will say, don't go to God, go and die. Do you understand? Eh? Now, because somehow, you know, things got confused, then people started what? Then people come and say, bring money to be healed. And okay, it got confused. Eh? But the glory of the latter house, the revival that is coming right now, is going to make the other one look like real Sunday school picnic. Praise the Lord. Somebody speak in tongues and thank God for, say, that anointing is mine. Claim it. Have it. Amen? You are going to see wondrous things. You are going to see wondrous things. No longer will you have to plead with somebody to be born again. Eh? Your life will be the testimony. Eh? They will just look at you and say, where do you go to church? Amen? Verse 7, start from verse 7. Again, so I will shake all the nations and they shall come to the desire of all the nations. Do you know what the nations desire? Do you know what they desire? Money, that's it. Now let me tell you something. All over the world, people are demonstrating. There is no country where there are no demonstrations. Now even the ones which used to be peaceful, people are demonstrating about something. Either about a president they don't like or whatever. South Korea, they are demonstrating corruption here. Then Venezuela, there were big demonstrations. The other day they were in Hungary. The other day they are where? Everywhere people are demonstrating because there is a certain sense of disquiet. Everybody is disgruntled about something. Do you know why they are disgruntled? They are disgruntled because they put their faith in the worldless system, in the governments. Now, I pity people who put their faith in the government because even governments of developed countries are not providing solutions. Like, there was a lot of disillusionment. Now, one of the reasons why even people were told not to vote Trump and they voted him is because people are disillusioned. They are hearing words. They see the rich getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Now, then they say that the richest 100 people own more than 70% of the poorest, 70% of the poorest earth. In other words, the rich, top rich 100 people have more wealth than about 6 billion human beings. Can you imagine? And is this going to get better? No, it is not. It's going to get worse. So what is that going to cause? Demonstrations. Like, people become disillusioned. Because previously, there was hope. You know, you get a job, what? You know, pension, what? The way our parents lived. Eh? Pension, what? Now even pension is not there. It's being stolen there. Now, so people, there is no hope. Now people are demonstrating over this. Now people are saying, I don't know what's wrong with Uganda. Everything is not working. It is not working anywhere. It's not just Uganda. Where is it working? You go and listen to the news and see. Everywhere they are demonstrating. The other day in Russia, they were crushed. In America, you saw them over what? Not my president. In Venezuela, in China, of course, if they do, they would kill them. Everywhere, people are disgruntled because they put faith in a government system. In politicians, who does that? Like, there is no way it is going. Like, are you going to become more developed than America? Even if you did, you would still be demonstrating. you understand? Eh? So there is only one hope. Eh? That's why he says, I will shake the nations and they will come to the desire of all the nations. Now, where there is a revival, because people see the only place where people seem to have solutions is the house of bread, okay? Where anybody who wants bread goes to the house of bread. Now, do you know what makes Ruth very special? Ruth is special, and she has a whole book dedicated to her and the whole lineage of the birth of Jesus dedicated to her, because when the people from the house of bread were running to Moab, Ruth, a Moabite woman, was saying, I am going to that place because I'm going back to the house of bread. Don't tell me to stay here. I have known that your God, she says, wherever you go, I will go, and your God will be my God, and what? So I've denounced this. I am going to the house of bread. Amen? And because she took that decision, God made sure that she had bread aplenty. Glory to God. Now, listen to this. The people who were running to Moab for solutions, now the solutions are in the church. The house of bread has bread. Glory to God. The house of bread has what? Bread. Now you're going to see. You're going to see. Now just listen to what is being said, and let it have an impact in your life. Let it change your life so that you don't have to argue with people. They just see the house you stay in. They just see the car you drive. They see where your children are going to school, and they say, where do you go to church? Where are they at? Do you know, I have been in churches where I saw people who entered when they were rich becoming broke because they were fed on wrong bread. Now we are going to go to a time where you know you get saved when you're broke, you're going to become rich. And now there are people who will not listen to you because you're broke. But you have money. You take them to a powerful restaurant where the bill is bigger than their salaries and tell them Jesus is Lord, and they will say, okay. Glory to God. So the Lord says, the glory of this house. Now, the funny thing is, the people who are leading those revivals, I was telling you, in the early church in Uganda, one of the people who are getting blind people seeing and leading the revivals, right now, are the ones fighting what God is doing. Now, that is what is so sad. And it is so disillusioning. Like, you look at it and you feel disillusioned. How could this man have sunk to this? So you become like the old men who are crying. Say, the temple that we saw, and now this, we have fallen. But there is no time for mourning. Because the Lord is saying that don't worry. My spirit is here. What makes the temple is not the silver and the gold. Because he says the silver and the gold are mine. Now I will shake the nations, and they will all come for answers in the house. It is already happening. Where there is uncertainty in the world, the only people who seem to be sure about where they are going are in the house of bread. Where there is fear in the world, the only people who seem to be moving without fear. Where there is debt in the world, the only people who seem to be lending, not borrowing, are where? Where there is sickness in the world, the only people who seem to be healthy are where? Do you understand what I'm saying? Where there is singlehood in the world, the only people who are getting married are where? Glory to God. So, where every aspect of your life is a testimony. Now, by the way, the words I'm telling you, the Lord told me, these are words for now. Do you understand? I'm not just preaching a message from, getting the Bible and reading. No, it is not. These are prophetic words. Do you understand? Now, the first sign you'll see is when the world is shaken. Things which you can see. And I will come here and remind you, people in certain positions, a shaking, which unfortunately might involve death, but a shaking where it becomes obvious that people have spent so many years building their future on certain political events. Do you understand? Then suddenly it's shaken and it's not there. Glory to God. Now the people who understand what we are talking about going to be the beneficiaries of this. And it is not just, it is for a testimony. And the things I'm telling you of taking people, like in real life, somebody comes to you to say, lend me your car. Then you say, which one do you want? This one. When you give it to him, you put a full tank and say you don't need fuel. Then when he comes back, you said, but do you know Jesus is Lord? Then he says, what? Let me sit and you tell me. But let me tell you, the problem, there are people in the world. Now, here is the sad thing. The world has fed people on lies. But, let me tell you. I was with somebody who was telling me, Okay, he's a Muslim, and I can forgive him for that. but you know, I'm told these days you have what? A fellowship. I've known him for some years. So he said, and I'm told, like many people go there because you're very eloquent. Let me tell you. Let me tell you something. Like the world has been lied to. like that there are people who are rich because they came up with a good idea. They are none. Like you will get rich to a certain level where you drive a Kahari and what and so on. And on loan, perhaps on bank loan and so on. But there is a point. If you are going to go past there, there has to be something, which is of a spiritual nature, one way or the other. Do you understand? Yes. Now, all the people who are presented to you as having started ideas, I was hearing myself on the anniversary of Steve Jobs' death, the guy of, what's he called, this Facebook guy. He said he started his network and he had 500 million people, but he was broke. Can you imagine anything that collects 500 million people? He didn't have money. And do you know where he went? Steve Jobs. Now he's talking about the life of Steve Jobs, 1 year after his death. I watched it myself on BBC, myself. Then he said that Steve Jobs advised him to go to some Indian guru, like in other words, some Morogo, you understand? And he went there and did what that man was telling him to do, and then, whew, billionaire, you understand? There is no idea without the necessary spiritual. Now, some of you are selling real estate, and you say, if I sell that building, if I sell this piece of land, I'm going to get this percentage. They will not pay you. Like, there has to be a certain spiritual backing. Do you understand? Like, if you do, like, you're lying yourself. You think you're going to get $1 million tomorrow without a spiritual backing? It is not going to happen. It will not. But with this anointing that you are a part of, now, here is the other thing. People, when it comes, the people of the world. Now, let me give you an example. Politicians, you saw the Speaker of Parliament when she went with cameras to go to her judges, and it was on news so that all of you see it. Okay. Now, do you think when she goes to her judges before elections, she's going to give her opinion? Do you think she's going to give her opinion? Like when you go to people with spiritual power, they don't, once you start bringing your opinion, you've lost it. Even presidents are made to crawl on their knees because a guy has spiritual power. If you want to win the election, do that. If you don't want, leave. Do you understand? But then people come to church where there are people with serious spiritual authority. Then the person says this and say, but me, I think we should do this. You've lost it. You've lost it. Lost it. Lost it. Like, no. Somebody was telling me the other day she went to what? To buy some land somewhere, Mitiana Road. Then they are there in a piece of land and she's seen cars passing, cars, powerful cars, SUVs, what, four-wheel drive. She says, so many people must have built in that place because now there are so many cars going there. They told her, no, there is a powerful rich doctor there. Now I'm telling you, powerful men, whom you would think are powerful, if the guy tells them to undress, you'll undress. Do you understand? But for you, you come to your man of God who has more power. Do you understand? But the only reason it is not working for you is because you are mixing it with your opinion. There are no opinions in the spiritual realm. Let me tell you, there are no opinions in the spiritual realm. You either take it or leave it. Do you understand? If you don't want it, leave it. Go. Thank you very much. Like, there are no opinions. Now, you, like, serious people, there was a man who actually, they put his picture on what? It's over a permanent secretary. A powerful, when he's in offices, you know, but there he was naked. Completely stuck naked. Why? Because the witch doctor has told him to do it. And the guy would even say, Andres, you think he would even say why? No. He just starts. But you see, we tell you to do things. Or even the people whom you encounter who have serious spiritual authority, and you just take it lightly, and it is not going to work, and then you go and be in a struggle. Let me tell you, you cannot get the benefit of spiritual backing to get your dreams here. when you want to receive it, with conditions or on your terms. Now, in the spirit, if for instance you dreamt about me in the spirit, somebody dreams when they were going somewhere and you're the one who came and opened the door for them and went and what? Then the person comes and says, what do you think the dream means? And I'm not going to interpret such a dream. But then for you decide you prefer another man of God. You will struggle because God has decided the man of God who is going to pave the way for you is that one. He is not going to change his mind just because you prefer the way the other one talks. He's not. He is God. Do you understand? Eh? You either do it his way or bust. Or you will be in struggle. And now people are struggling who are not supposed to be struggling. Then the person comes and says, I dreamt you again the other day. When what? I say, hey, okay. What does the dream mean? I say, you go and pray in tongues, you get the interpretation. Glory to God. Now, I won't change, like, first of all, I will not tell you. If it is somebody else, as other people have dreamt, I will tell you what the Lord is saying, that Gabriel is the man who is going to help you. But if it is me, I will not say. Because how do you start telling somebody? That come to me. Some of you would do that, but for me, I can't. There are certain, okay, you know there are certain things. Eh? Somebody comes and tells you, and you can see the answer is there, but he's battling with it. Eh? But you see the other guy, he's the one who did what, he's the one who does that. You know me, I don't believe in what. The other guy believes in grace message, me, I don't. The other guy, kakana, eh? Go and struggle. When you're tired of struggling, eh? And God, like, there is no prosperity that goes outside of what God has called you to do. Do you understand? Eh? Like, in the spiritual, like, it's listening to instructions. Like, God tells you, now I want you to do. Now, I'll give you an example. If God tells me that you're going to preach end time, and for me, I say I prefer to preach something else, but I want to prosper doing my things, waste of time, it will not happen. Like, God is not, like, it will not. Do you understand? Eh? Now, when I learned that, I know that instruction equals increase in levels. Every level that you want to get to will come with an instruction. Sometimes before. Do you understand? Eh? Sometimes before, do this. Once you do it, the next level comes automatically. Then you be at that level, do this. Now, if you argue with it, end of story. You will struggle, pray, fast. And then some people pray and fast, then get dreams giving them direction, but they don't want to because they want to receive God's prosperity on their terms, not on his. Do you understand? Eh? But the people who go to the devil, they know that they go there on his terms, not theirs. They are not going there to give their opinions. There are places where the opinions are given, but not there. Do you understand? Crawl on your knees. Take off your clothes. Like, there is no argument in it. Bring your firstborn son. No argument. Somebody comes to church. He says, I dreamt when I was giving you, let's say, 1,000,000 shillings. What do you think the dream means? Actually, one comes and says, I dreamt when I was giving you 1,000,000 shillings. Then I said, what do you think it means? I thought it meant that I should sow 1,000,000 shillings. So I took it to my pastor. So I say, oh, okay, that's good. But I know he has missed it. Eh? And he's going to be through another round of struggle until he comes and obeys the instruction. You will be where you are until you learn how to obey. Like in the spirit realm, eh? There is no opinion. No opinion. Nobody wants your opinion. Like the people who are in the spirit, I'll give you an example as I end. Why do you think the demons which fell with the devil, like he's the one who is over them? Why isn't there a mutiny where some other demons say, but why is the devil, whatever? Why should we listen to the devil? Because he was created to be above them. They cannot change that order. Do you understand? Eh? That order cannot be what? Now your assignment, by the way, let me tell you this, all spirits were created with a specific location where they cannot go past. If you are created to be an angel at the lowest rank, you will never go higher. The only people who can change their station are human beings. But they don't change it here, they change it in heaven. But when you're here, if you are created to serve under, let's say, my ministry, when we get to heaven, I can be serving under yours. If you did what you were supposed to do, and I did not. Do you understand? Eh? But here you might not change it. But when you go there, that's why Jesus says, so many who are last will be first. And those who are first will be last. Eh? Now, the only people who can change their station are us. By and only in the time we are on earth. Once you die, also you. That's it. Eh? So when you're on earth and you do the will of God, and when you get there, you are the boss. No matter how small your assignment was, you were a mother, your work was to raise children, godly children, and you did it very well. You'll have a bigger reward than somebody who led millions to the Lord if you were supposed to lead millions more. You understand? Eh? Because he was given that work, he did 70%. You were given your work, you did 95%. So there, he's the one who is serving you. Yet on the world, everybody knew that was so and so. And nobody knew you. Do you understand? Eh? Now, in the spiritual world, everything is set. Now, if you want to benefit from it, as so many people do, eh, get out of argument mode. Eh? This is not education about what, psychology. Like, leave your education back. Eh? Now, one of the reasons, some of these books which people read, eh, where they will tell you, now, Zuckerberg, who was saying he went to an Indian guru, you read this book about how he got rich. He will tell you about his idea and what. He will never tell you about the spiritual things he did. He does. Eh? Never. The only people who tell you the spiritual things they did are Barukuri. When you want to know how Kenneth Copeland got rich, he will tell you, I did like this, I started like this. He will tell you everything he did. Those people of the world, if he sacrificed his son, you think he will tell you? He cannot. He will tell you, I got this idea, then I went, and what? You come up with your ideas and see. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now I speak in the authority of this office in the name of Jesus. I decree that from this day onwards, now, okay, here is the thing. Now, so many people, is there anybody called Enid? Enid. Now, here is the thing. You have here in the name of Jesus, I free you from any bondage. In the name of Jesus, I command you, Satan, to stay away from each and every person who is standing here this day. And I decree in Jesus' name that you shall from this day onwards receive no such dreams in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you're freed from them. Say amen. In the name of Jesus, you're freed from them. And in the name of Jesus, from this day onwards, you start to receive dreams of a different nature. You start to receive dreams of direction. Dreams telling you what to do. In the name of Jesus, you receive your direction from the Spirit through this way. And what the devil had used to mess you up, the Holy Spirit is going to use to now start giving you direction. And from this day onwards, your dream life will be a glorious moment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And some of you will move from that glorious dream life into visions. In the name of Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful moment. Starting tonight in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Starting tonight, you're freed from those things. From dreams of dead mother. A dead mother calling. Eh? Somebody here, you dream when your mother who died is calling you, like, or trying to communicate to you, trying to reach out to you. Huh? Amen. I rebuke such dreams in the name of Jesus, and I decree that you shall not see the dead in your dreams. You shall see only what the Lord wants you to see in your dreams. You shall not see lost souls. You shall see what the Lord wants you to see in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Just continue in the spirit. Mashila brabo supre de kosilebo. As you're seated. Shile bradaba sile brade balabarebo. This is what I hear the Father say or direct me to do. I'm going to give you an Easter gift. Okay? Okay, now listen to the gift. Listen to the gift. If you have anything, pimples, any tumors, any sickness, anything, I want you to stand up. You're the people I'm going to deal with. I'm not going to pray for you. I want you to stand across these lines. I'm going to pass over you. And when I'm done passing over you, those things are going to be gone. If you have any pains and all of that, just stand up. Stand up quick. Now, I want you to get close. Close. Leave space for me to pass. Reba silem bradaba shitala bayaba. And leave space.
I'm desperate for
Sheila Probo Suparaba Ramdo Reba. Don't touch me. Rebaba Sutele Bradaba Jile Brade Bayaba. Thank you, thank you. Repa Zile Brade Bozelebo. Power is increasing in this place. Jile Bradaba Zopre de Bozelebo. Thank you, Father. Makarebo Jile Bradabaya. Repa Zubre de Bozile Bradabaya. Create space, create space. Create space where I can pass. When you're healed of anything, any pain is left, you just come in front here.
Now listen, if who has a tumor, like some kind of sweating, you come forward, like a sweating. On your back side. Okay, in the name of Jesus, hold them. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke them, I command them to vanish in the space of 2 weeks. Jesus is in. He comes. Are they painful? They are. Get rid of what you think. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I command them to dry up. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And they dry up. They dry up. You come and testify. Because I see in 2 weeks, there will be a complete healing and recovery of it. In the name of Jesus.
Alright.
Just hold on. Who has one which is like in the thighs? You. Okay. Like come forward if you have like a oil, like something like a whatever. Like in the thighs. In the thighs. Okay, let me prefer. I feel led to pray for whatever. You're ushering it. Okay. In the name of Jesus, Father, I. Where is yours? Command it to vanish right now, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I command all these swellings to vanish right now, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke them, I command them to vanish right away, in the name of Jesus. I want you now to go and check yourselves from behind there and see, because I see some of you will get the miracle instantly. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke all those swellings and I command them to vanish right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So you go and on the thigh. Okay, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it.
and I command it to leave right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. And you too. Okay, in the name of Jesus. Okay.
Change everything. Come break every chain. Come change everything. Come break every chain. Come change everything.
Okay, let's point your hands towards high, everybody. You want to unmute, close your eyes. Okay, in the name of Jesus, I remove it. I remove it. I command it to lift your eyes in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, and it goes right now in the name of Jesus. And you'll see it. You testify of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Listen to the instruction. Check yourself. If your pain is gone, the tumor is lost, you put up your hand. Check yourself. Whatever issue you came with. I'm seeing a hand there. Just come forward. Just come forward. Don't get lost.
Please don't leave this place right now. Even if you're not sick, don't leave this place. There's something I want to release today that has come. Jack, you've come. Okay, in the name of... Now, I want all of you, even those who had come here sick, to point your hands towards her, because something is going to happen in her life now, which is going to change everything about her. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I command that spirit to depart from you in the name of Jesus. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Come out of her in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're delivered. Eh? Now, there is something that has been from childhood, eh? And it has affected a part of your life. Now people will see you different.
Amen. Amen.
People will see you different.
Amen.
And by people, I mean people of the opposite sex. Eh? Will see you different. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you will see the evidence of it. Eh?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you're freed from it. Eh?
Yes.
So, a new dawn comes for you in that area.
Amen.
Because you're one of the people who I was instructed specifically to come and administer deliverance.
Amen.
I got the instruction a few days ago from the Lord about you specifically, you.
Amen.
And about this day, okay? Now you're going to see a difference, even in the way people see you.
All right, I want to seal those miracles. Just put your hand if your situation was physical and it has gone. Put up your hand.
Okay, the rest of you can be seated. Go
all
back
right
to your seats.
I seal that.
And those who want to testify, come forward. Please don't leave anybody. There is something we want to release here. But... Now listen, there are miracles which are going to manifest in time. But there are those which are supposed to manifest now. And we are not doing rituals. We know what we are doing. So check yourself, especially those who are busy. Check yourself.
There is a lady I want to deal with. You've been checked and it's like your belly, they are telling you there is water. Your belly is increasing. It has grown. Eh? It's a big tummy. Come now. Come. I want to deal with that, that situation. You're a lady. It's a big belly. Please come quick. Eh? Don't feel ashamed. Eh? All right. Then there is another person I want to as well deal with. You are Charles. Charles. I hear Charles. 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 Come as well. You are Charles. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lady, you have an issue. It's a big tummy and it is disturbing you. You are wondering actually what is in the belly. You're not pregnant. First come, I deal with you. I hear an evangelistic call upon your life, okay? And who lives around Mokono? Your business partner, yeah? Because I see you doing business like I do, but as well into the gospel, and I hear miraculous anointing that I am supposed to impart upon your life, eh? I hear another person like an Andrew. Do you know an Andrew?
Oh, yes.
Who is that?
He's a shareholder in our company.
A shareholder in your company, yes. Yeah? Because I see, and that's what I hear, that the Lord is increasing that company and expanding
Amen.
It.
Amen.
But it is not supposed to end there. You are supposed actually to go on and go on with the gospel with at the same time with the company. Because I see, are you married? Yeah, because I see that same grace is going to help you to get married
Amen.
Before you get into ministry full time. Eh? The Lord bless you. There is a lady, I want you. Then there is another person like Annette. Eh? Annette. I hear an Annette. Eh? You're Annette. Eh? Okay. This Annette I want, because you might be many Annettes and we don't have time. Eh? Is Annette, I want, you have, I don't know if you stay around Nansana or you have someone like, you know, in Nansana and they are close, they are relatives, you've ever been there. That is the Annette I want. Okay? Okay, come. Who is that person? Because I want to know that we are.
My sister. She
your sister.
Stay around personally.
Okay. You are the lady with the tumor. Have you checked?
I've checked. I want to go for a scan.
You want to go for a scan?
Yeah.
Where is the tumor?
In my uterus.
In your uterus. I think you're the person I wanted, but I described, I think, the condition wrong. We are going to reduce that thing now. Okay? We want it gone now. Is it... Can you feel it when someone touches? Okay. Get lost. Get lost, human. You are cursed. I command you to get lost now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It is done. Go to the scan. Go to the scan.
Yes, hold on. Now, I'm being instructed to deal with issues of marriage. Now, by issues of marriage, I mean people, like, I sense there are people who are ready because there is a spirit, okay? This is deliverance, which sits on you and somehow causes people to see you in a certain way where you're not desirable. Yet actually in the natural you are, but for some reason, I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up. But for some reason, like, you seem to look different to people who would approach you. Now, the people I'm talking about, you've not had somebody. The first time somebody shows interest in you, the next day is lost interest. Okay? There are like two or three people that I know for sure. The first time somebody shows interest, the next day he's lost it. And it's like something scares them off and you don't know why. And you almost want to go pursuing them, but that's not a good idea. So, this is what I'm praying about. And this is ladies. So, and now, okay, this is not general marriage. There is a specific thing I'm praying about because it's spiritual. Now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that demon and I command it. I rebuke those demons in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Actually, now, they are almost all hereditary. Okay? They are almost, okay, like from childhood, now I'm describing perhaps one person. From childhood, somebody put something in you that when you were a child, it manifested as sickly. You were sickly all the time, but now that appears to have gone. Now you've entered another thing where the other condition I described is there, where somebody sees you and you seem to be attractive to them until they come close, then the next day they seem to have lost interest. Now the sickly part has gone, now this one is what remains. And it's because of a family of witchcraft and what, where people got you into covenants as a child and stuff like that. Amen? That. Then somebody else, now I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I rebuke those demons in Jesus' name. I command them to leave you right now in the name of Jesus. And I decree that right now you're set free. I speak total deliverance over everybody in that condition in the name of Jesus. And I decree that you are set free. You are set free in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now somebody else wants to give birth but has failed because there is, okay, we get into this so-called spiritual husband. There is something which comes and has sex with you at night, and you wake up feeling filthy and dirty, and then actually you are in a relationship, and for that reason, you have failed to conceive because of that, okay? Okay, now, I see you've conceived, I think, and actually had a miscarriage at some stage, okay? Now, I'm breaking that. Now, these are not things for which I can ask people to stand up because of their nature. But now I'm breaking that in the name of Jesus. Now, everybody who has had manifestations of evil in the night in which they are violated, I rebuke every such demon in the name of Jesus. And I place you above the people who are prone to such attack. I decree that you are protected from such things in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you are set free from it. You're set free from it. And from this night onwards, you shall not have those dreams that are homosexual. Now, the thing is, if you're struggling with habits that have, and this is what I get, that have actually opened you to these things, habits like, weird sexual habits, that have gotten you into this, okay? In the name of Jesus, somebody, okay, now even abortion, three abortions, somebody, I'm speaking about somebody in particular, three abortions. The third one, you actually felt strongly not to do it, but you went ahead and did it. And after that, you've been having all kinds, visitations of evil. Now, in the name of Jesus, I want you, whoever you are, to whisper in your breath that I am forgiven. Whisper in your breath that I am forgiven. Because through condemnation, the enemy has opened the way to come and attack you. And attack you and attack you. And now you've gotten into this area where you all manner of weird sexual manifestations at night. Weird. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I rebuke those in Jesus' name. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, somebody else has had dreams where, now a man, I'm talking about a man, where a man comes and tries to get you into homosex. And you're living in fear because it's not something you want, but you're kind of that, what if this thing comes on me? What if, and you're not that, but you're scared, what if this thing comes on me? Now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that demon in Jesus' name, and I lift that spirit of fear out of you, and I decree in the name of Jesus, you're protected from it, and it shall not manifest in your life in the name of Jesus. But I also tell you, do not expose yourself to places. Do not go to places where you've had those things. You know them. You know them. Don't go there. Some of you go to places because you're seeing it on TV. And you know. Now you're forcing us even to say things which we are not supposed to say. But you know the people there are involved in these habits. But you expose yourself to them by going there. Then at night you start dreaming weird things. Okay? So do not expose yourself. After we prayed for you, if you go back right in the soil, that's your business. But do not expose yourself to these things in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So now that person is delivered from it in Jesus' name, in the name of... Actually, it's even more than one person. More than one person. Where there is fear that the first time it happened, you were scared. It did not actually happen, but you had to fight it off. Now, you're scared that it can happen again. So you actually leave it now. It is not going to happen again. Amen? It's not going to happen again. In Jesus' name.
All right. Three more cases. One, you lost like a parent. You were a lady. And what I'm seeing on the breach of something new about to happen to you, you get one of these dreams. Either you are walking and you get lost in a forest or in darkness, pitch darkness. You lost one of your parents. You lost one of your parents. You've been getting that dream each time you are trying to do something. Then there is another person, because what I hear is like you had an ex like Henry. Henry was your ex. But ever since Henry went away, man, it has been tight to keep a boyfriend. I'm separating you from that spiritual tie. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to stand up. The other person that I'm speaking about, who at the brink of something, you get those dreams and it doesn't happen. For you, I want you. You a lady. Man. Zoned out. Jila pako prada bo shitele brede bo shitele brode bayaba. Jila mandro do bo shitele brada ba zope de bo zopeka. Repla ramando riba zope de be jile brede bo zite yaba. Come. Jile brada ba zope de bo zile brande le bo shitele baya. Repa zope de bo jile brada ba zope de ba zope yaba. Zile ba. Do you have someone who is doing produce? Selling produce? Dealing in produce and all that? What are you dealing in? You work. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Because I see, like, the Lord wants you to go just beyond working. Yeah, I'm seeing someone, it's like a connection, and you're going to be, like, supplying certain things, but you're getting connected with people doing that stuff, produce. And I'm seeing you taking it, like, outside the country. And it's going to bless you a lot, because I see with just work, you can't do it. Okay? Yeah.
Amen.
All right. I think because of time, let me, yes.
So what you had come to?
What?
Testify.
I go to church. My name is Ongama Thomas. I'm 54 years, almost as old as this country. So the suffering this country has had, I'm part of it. I'm going to give you highlights. I finished senior 4 in 1983. I finished senior 6 in 1986. Then I sat home for 5 years. Then before going to university for diploma adult education, I was thrown in prison for having lost a tax ticket. On the day before the exams, then I was released. I did adult education. 2002, I did bachelor's. From 2002 up to now, I've been a teacher earning salary not above 300,000. So when you see my tummy, don't be misguided. So I asked God, why am I having this salary? So God told me, you see, Tom, my plans are different, but I want to do something for you. So this year, I got someone who asked me to head a school in Luero. It's a new school. But I'm teaching in a Catholic school currently. So I pray in that school a lot. I pray for students during the lessons, and then I guide them a lot. So they said, but this man prays in tongues. We don't understand him. In fact, the principal is so concerned. So I'm going to be a head teacher in that school, the new school in Luero. It is standing on 17 acres of land. That is one. Testimony number two. I wanted to do a bachelor's in law. Sometime I testified of this when we were at the other side. But things didn't work out. First of all, I failed to get a sponsor. But this year, I got a sponsor for Masters in Business Administration and Management from Makono University. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. But a prophet asked us to stand along these lines. I was experiencing, my eyes have been paining me a lot. Even when I came here, I was feeling a lot of pain, especially in this right eye. But the moment I stood there, in fact, he didn't pass us by before I felt healed already. And I was feeling pain this side of my stomach and my tummy. And it also disappeared instantly. I give glory to God.
Finally, there is something I saw while I was at home. It was a short vision, but I want us to pray for Makere University. I saw a funny strike there, and it claimed lives. It was different from these other strikes, because I was even seeing people from outside who are non-students, and it was funny. It was funny. Just pray for Makere University.
Okay, in 1 minute, everybody. In the name of Jesus, Father, we lift up the university. We pray that you protect lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you protect lives. We rebuke the spirit that is behind this, in the name of Jesus, that causes this disturbance, in Jesus' name. And we decree that no life shall be lost, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that each and every person here who connects is not left behind. The silver is yours and the glory is yours. Now, when this shaking comes that we've spoken about here today, when the shaking comes, these people here, Father, will see a difference in their financial lives. There will be a difference in their financial lives. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because their lives are transformed financially, in Jesus' name. Promotions, ideas, partnerships, in the name of Jesus, partnerships that lift them up, people whom you connect them to. I thank you, Father, because this financial anointing that is coming is partaken of by each and every person here. Say amen to that. If you believe to receive it, say amen.
Amen.
So now I release it in the name of Jesus. And as surely as the Lord gave me that word, now I give you this word here, that you partake of a unique financial anointing, and you'll see it manifest as the shaking takes place. After the shaking, you'll see things falling in your lap. In Jesus' name. Amen.